Hare Krishna. So let us continue with the Gopi Gita. We'll continue from verses 5 onwards. So verses 5 to 8 are the second section. They talk about praying to the gopis praying to Krishna, please bless us. So in the first 5th verse, they ask for the blessing. I'm paraphrasing it here. Please place your desire fulfilling hand on our head. And 6th, they ask for, please accept us as your servants. 7th, they ask, please bless us with your lotus feet. And 8th, they say, please revive us with the nectar of your lips. So let's look at these one by one. So the 5th verse is saying, Vijayanartiha virachita bhayam vrishni dhuryate charanamiyusham samsmriter bhayat karasaroruham kantakamadam shirasidehinaha shrikaragraham. So virachita bhayam, O hero, Veera, you give abhaya, you give fearlessness. Vrishni dhur veera chita bhayam, Vrishni dhuryate. You are a hero in the Vrishni dynasty. Charanami yusham, samsmriter bhayat. Charanami yusham, those who take shelter of your lotus feet, you give them freedom from all the sufferings of material existence. Samsmriter bhayat. So what are we asking you? We are also suffering right now in material existence, because if we are separated from you, that is material existence. So if you give shelter and relief for everyone, please give relief to us also. And what is the relief that we want? Shirasi dehinaha shrikaragraham. So, please place on your head, the hand that is accepted by the goddess of fortune, Shrikaragraham. So, Shrikaragraham has two meanings. One is that your hand has been accepted by the goddess of fortune. When the Amrit Manthan was done at that time, the goddess Lakshmi appeared as Sindhu Tanaya, and she accepted your hand. She chose you as her groom, as her lord. So that is referring, your hand has been accepted by the goddess of fortune. And Shrikaragraham also means that your hand, when it is raised in benediction, that brings Shri in the life of others, that brings auspiciousness, fortune. Karasaroruham kantakamadam. So your hand is lotus. Karasaroruham kantakamadam. It fulfills all desires. So please fulfill our desire too, O Lord. Please purify us. Please bless us so that whatever it is that it caused you to go away from us, let that go away. So the gopis are praying fervently over here. My dear Lord, please bless us. So earlier they were saying, please appear now. Now they are saying, please bless us. If you don't bless us, who will bless us? Ultimately, all good fortune rests with you. And you, who are our Lord, whom we have offered ourselves to, how can you let misfortune come in our lives? So this is the second reference to Shri in the Gopi Gita. The first was a reference to Shri with the word Jayatite Edhikam. In that verse, the word Indira. Indira also refers to the goddess of fortune. So by talking about the connection of the goddess of fortune with the Supreme Lord, the gopis are saying that you should bring fortune in our life too, O Lord. Why are you letting misfortune come in our life? Shrikaragraham. You are free from the misery of material existence, everyone. So why not us? So normally, when we practice spiritual life, we often expect instant relief from the miseries of material existence. We think that because I am chanting Hare Krishna, now I will have no more miseries. But miseries are inevitable in this material world. When we take a treatment, we may be sick, we may not experience immediate relief from misery. So when we are sick, whether we are taking the treatment or not, we will have to suffer. But the treatment ensures that our suffering won't go on forever. It will decrease and it will go away. So the gopis are saying over here that if we are taking shelter of you, so please remove our misery. Like that, we should understand that when we are suffering, that the only way to relieve from the suffering is by taking shelter of the Lord. And the sufferings that sometimes seems too intolerable, at that time we just have to recognize this is the impetus for taking even greater shelter of Krishna. Far more intense shelter of Krishna by which the misery can subside and then become eliminated. So, Vrishnidhuryate. You are born the Vrishni dynasty. So, Vrishni, Satvata, Andhaka, Yadava, all these are related dynasties, and Krishna is referred to by all these different names. So now, the reference to Vrishnidhuryate is a continuation of the point the gopis are acknowledging that Krishna, you don't belong to Vrindavan in one sense. Now, you are born in the Vrishni dynasty, and earlier as they said, Nakhalu Gopikanandano Bhavan, that you are actually not Gopikanandana. But still in the same breath, when they say, you are Vrishnidhuryate, but they also acknowledge that you are not just another descendant of the Vishnu dynasty. You can grant relief from all of material existence. Charanam Eusham Samskriteir Bhayat. So the thread of thought is continuing. That you are the Supreme Lord who was prayed to by Brahma, and then you appear. And when you appear, you can give relief from all the miseries of existence. Samskriti. So just as you give everyone relief from misery, so please give us also relief from misery. And our misery is not the ordinary misery of material existence. Our misery is separation from you. So please relieve us of this separation. And please enable us to have your darshan, have your blessing in terms of having your lotus hand touch our head and bless us. So in the next verse, they will pray for the darshan of the Lord. So they pray, Vraja janatihan virayoshitam nija janasmi damsana smita vaja sakhe bhavat kinkaraismano janaruhananam charudarshaya. So here they are praying, please accept us as your servants. And if we have become proud, your smile will destroy our pride. The gopis are acknowledging that. Now the background of this pastime is that when Krishna and the gopis were about to perform the Rasleela, they had some discussions. Initially Krishna tried to deter them and told them, go back home. But then the gopis said, you know, you are our Lord and we have come here to serve you, how can we go back? Then they started performing the Rasleela. The gopis felt very fortunate. And amidst that sense of feeling very fortunate, they felt that, Krishna is performing Rasleela with us. We are the most fortunate women in the whole world. So the gopis felt that, they felt a little proud. And Krishna immediately left them. So actually they were not proud. They were considering themselves fortunate. But Krishna, he left them not because they were proud, although that's the external reason that's sometimes given. The inner reason was that Krishna wanted to demonstrate the superiority of Radharani, supremacy of Radharani among all the gopis. Krishna was thinking that if I am just with all the gopis and Radharani is one of the gopis, then the Rasleela pastime will not demonstrate the supreme devotion of Radharani. So he left all the gopis to be alone with Radharani. And Radharani was initially very happy to be with Krishna. But then she realized that, all my sakhis will be suffering in separation from Krishna. Then she thought, how can I enjoy Krishna's association alone? And to slow Krishna down so that other sakhis will catch up. The other sakhis, she knew, only frantically searching for them. She told Krishna, Krishna, I am tired. Now, if you want me to go further into the forest, I don't think I can walk. So, and then Krishna in an angry tone said, because this is a forest, I cannot get a palanquin for you. So, you climb on my shoulders and I'll carry you. And saying this, Krishna disappeared. And Radharani realized that Krishna had become angry with her and Krishna had left her. She was utterly heartbroken. And she swooned in agony over there, and other gopis caught up with her at that time. So even Radharani had not become proud when she told that her statement to Krishna that I cannot move forward. But the gopis are actually ready to take the blame. They are saying that we may have become proud, but for a devotee, what is the way to become free from pride? Nija jana smaya tvamsana smita. It is your smile that destroys the pride of your devotees. How can some Krishna's smile destroy the pride? You know, those who are practicing devotional service, there is always a tug of war in their heart. That they want to stay focused on the higher spiritual happiness of loving and serving Krishna and getting whatever and being satisfied with whatever happiness comes thereof. But at the same time, they also feel allured by the pleasures of this world. The lust, the anger, the greed, they all promise pleasure. So like that, pride also promises pleasure. Delight in your own glories, pride says. And sometimes devotees may also get seduced by that. But then, when the devotees pursue Krishna's beauty, when Krishna reveals his beautiful smile to the devotee, then the devotees feel, what's the glory of pride? What is the pleasure in pride? There's no pleasure at all. It's so tiny. And when somebody praises me, I get some pleasure, but then I spend so much of my mental energy expecting that pleasure, and the pleasure is never enough, and the praise that I get is never enough, and that's why the pleasure I get from that is never enough. And no matter how much I get, it just inflames, the desire for being praised gets inflamed more and more. And just as lust is like an insatiable fire, similarly, pride is also an insatiable fire, and it will never be satisfied. So therefore, let me not get involved in this business. So the devotee, when sees Krishna's enchanting smile, the devotee realizes the insignificance of the pleasure of pride. And therefore, the pride gets destroyed. Now for those who are not so devotionally inclined, Krishna may have to use stronger treatment. Krishna may not find the revelation of his beauty enough for that people. So then Krishna may have to reveal his power. And that he did with Indra. Now Indra started thinking that, I am the Lord of the heavens and I'll delight in my glory. Now Krishna was revealing his sweetness in Vrindavan. But rather than being captivated by the sweetness, he started thinking, this is just an 8-year-old boy, Balisha Panditamanina. This is a child who is thinking that he is very clever. Then Krishna had to reveal his power. And through the power, he shattered Arjuna, Indra's arrogance, Indra's pride in his own power. Indra realized that my power is insignificant as compared to Krishna's power. So, that means there are two ways to become free from pride. One is by becoming attracted to Krishna's sweetness, or the other is by becoming jolted by Krishna's greatness. So, whichever way we choose, ultimately, we will never be able to hold on to our pride. Material nature will grind our pride to powder. We'll become gold, we'll get diseased, we will, you know, old age and the sickening and the weakening of the body is bound to humiliate us. And the material nature's power is also one way in which Krishna exhibits his power. So, one devotee, Prabhupada was on a morning walk and there's a young person over there. Because you are not independent, Prabhupada is saying. You are controlled. He says, no, I am not controlled by anyone. Prabhupada said, won't you have to become old? He says, yes. But that is simply biology. So he says, nobody can force me to do anything. Prabhupada says, that is biological force. It is simply biological force. You don't want to become old, but you will be forced to become old against your will. So nature's will is ultimately, nature's power is ultimately Krishna's power. So if we voluntarily choose to become attracted by Krishna's sweetness, that means we intentionally become conscious of Krishna's beauty as is revealed through his duties, as his sweetness as is revealed through the holy name, through his pastimes, through the association of devotees, then that can purify us of pride. Otherwise, Krishna's greatness will become manifest through us. Krishna doesn't have to personally come and lift Govardhan Hill for to expose our pride. He can just do it through material nature. But either way, we will have to become free from pride. The gopis are saying, Krishna, even if you feel that we have become proud and you don't like pride, the way to remove our pride is by Nija Jana Smaya. You know, you just come and smile in front of your devotees. So smile while, for those who are your beloved devotees, they see a smile. Then Dvamsana Smita. And why should you do this? Because you are Vraja Janartihan. You remove the miseries of the Vrajavasis. When Indra was tormenting, you removed the misery of the Vrajavasis. And we are also Vrajavasis. And especially, Veera Yoshitam. You are the hero of women. So he is saying that, Krishna, you are the hero and we are weak women. Please protect us. Normally, if a woman is in need of help, then it is the masculine tendency to want to help, to protect. And it is the Kshatriya tendency to protect the helpless and certainly to protect helpless women. So the gopis are using all possible means to somehow attract Krishna. Krishna, please come, we are helpless. And earlier they also said that we are about to die in separation from you. So Veera Yoshitam, you are the hero of all women. Please come and protect us. We are helpless. And what is the way you can help us? That they are saying that Jalarananam Jalaruhananam Charu Darshaya says that your face, Jalaruhananam. Jalaruhananam is the lotus flower which is born in the Jala. Charu Darshaya. Please, that sweet, sweet lotus-like face, please reveal it to us. Please let us see it. Once we see it, then even if you feel there is some pride within us, that pride will all go away. That is the way we will become free from pride. So, and here also, we see this simultaneous oxymoronic juxtaposing, positioning side by side of the awareness of Krishna's greatness and sweetness over here. In the same line, they are saying, Kinkaraismanu, that please accept us as your servants. And at the same time, they are also saying, Bhaji Sakhe Bhavat. Sakhe, you are our Sakha. So you are our Sakha. We are not asking you to accept us as your friends. We consider you our friend, but you accept us as at least our main servants. Kinkaraismanu. So, we don't want to be proud. Just accept us as your servants. So just accept us as your servants, and just as the master comes in front of the servant to give orders. Similarly, even if you come in front of us to give orders, our pride will go away, if at all there is any pride, just by seeing your beautiful form. So, Jalaruhananam Charu Darshaya. So, in this verse, there are two prayers. One is accept us as your servants and reveal your beautiful lotus like face to us. And the two are related. So, actually speaking, whatever anarthas in our heart, it is far better that they be rejected by our exposure to Krishna's sweetness than by exposure to Krishna's greatness. Because the exposure to Krishna's greatness can be quite painful, and it is often involuntary. So we are forced. We want to enjoy lust, but the body's capacity to enjoy lust goes away. And then we are helplessly frustrated. Then we are forced to turn towards Krishna. But if we don't turn towards Krishna, then our frustration will go on lifetime after lifetime. If we voluntarily turn towards Krishna, that is, we can save ourselves of so much pain which comes from that frustration, and we can also become purified faster. And we can do good to others also through our purification. Therefore, Nija Jana Smaya Dhamsana Smita. Whenever we do any service, it is so easy to become proud if we are able to do that service well. I can do this so nicely. But rather than becoming proud, we can focus on the connection with Krishna that the service is offering. Now, we do service for connection with Krishna, not for distinction in the world. So, our service is for connection, not distinction. And we keep that in mind. Then, even the material results, let me count the service, even if they are special, they're distinctive, they're noteworthy, they do make us respected and famous, still that won't infatuate us. So we keep our mind that my purpose of serving is connection, not distinction. Devotional connection, not mundane distinction. And the gopis will pray in the next verse. Pranata dehinam papakarshanam trunacharanugam shriniketanam vanipanarpitam tepadambujam krunakucheshuna krindiruchayam. So here they are saying, please bless us with your lotus feet. So first, please bless us with your hand, that also lotus hand. Then please bless us with the darshan of your lotus face and accept us as your servants. And now, in verse 7, they are saying, please bless us with your lotus feet. So they glorify the lotus feet. And what is the glory? They are saying, pranata dehinam papakarshanam, that this lotus feet destroys the pap, destroys the sin of those who bow down to it. So even if worldly people come and bow down to the lotus feet, it destroys their misery also. So why not our misery? That's the underlying theme. So we are also trying to respect that and adore that virtue, that lotus feet, and we are seeking its benedictions. Why is the benediction not coming on us? And they say that those who have attraction to you, you know, you yourselves are serving them. Trunacharanugam. So, Shriniketanam, this is one of the sweetest contrasts. Yeah, that actually the goddess of fortune resides on those feet. You know, goddess of fortune is present as Tulsi. On the lotus feet of Krishna. Tulsi is also ultimately an expansion of Lakshmi Devi. So, and Shriniketanam. So, there is Lakshmi Devi present on those lotus feet. But what are those lotus feet doing? They are going after the cows. So the cows are referred to in a poetic way over here. Truna chara anugam. So truna chara, those who eat the grass, that is the cows, anugam. So your lotus feet go after the cows. That means you are the servant of the cows and you go out in the forest to graze the cows. So you go where the cows go, you go after them. So those lotus feet bless the cows also because they follow the footsteps of the cows. And they bless Lakshmi Devi also. This is a third reference to Shri. Because they allow Shri Devi a residence over there. And what to speak of those who are devoted. So all these three that I have talked about are devoted. Those who bow down, they may not be pure devotees. But they at least have some devotion because of which they are going down. The cows of Vrindavan, they are exalted devotees. And what to speak of Shri Devi. But apart from those who have devotion, those who have aversion, you have offered those lotus feet even to them. Fani panar pitam te padambu jam. So fani panar pitam means that fani, that is kalya. Fana is his hoods. So you offered the lotus food, your lotus feet, even to the hoods of kalya. So actually, kalya did not receive Krishna's lotus feet as a benediction. For him, they were like thunderbolts. And it was Krishna offered it to him in the only way he would accept. Krishna just danced and shattered his pride by the lotus feet. But the point is that way also Krishna, Kalia's head got the lotus feet. How many of us can have the fortune that Krishna's lotus feet will touch our head? And the Nagapatnis, the wives of Kalia, they say that what is this extraordinary fortune of this Kalia? He is such an envious demon. And envious demons like him don't get this fortune of having the lotus feet of the Lord touch his head. Even the great yogis seek this fortune and they don't get this fortune. So how is it that Kalia has got this fortune? So they are amazed by this fortune. And they say that this fortune is because actually Kalia is simply, it's in your inconceivable mercy, my dear Lord. They say that probably Kali has done some extraordinary pious activities in your life, but whatever he has done, to have so many times your lotus feet coming over there, it's such an extraordinary mercy. So the gopis are remembering, Krishna, you give the lotus feet to everyone, even to Kaliya. Why are you not giving those lotus feet to us? Now, krunakuchesunakrandiruchayam. So the gopis have a unique way of worshipping Krishna's lotus feet. They want to take those lotus feet and place them on their chest. So they are saying that our hearts are burning with the desire for you. And when we come in contact with you, only then the desire will go away. So please let your lotus feet come and come upon us and let them be placed on our chest. Then in our heart, the fire of desire for you, the fire of separation from you that is burning, that can be removed. So kruna kuche shuna krindirichayam. So in this way, in the heart, whatever desire is there, that will get burnt away. So actually, in our life, in our heart also there is desire. So generally, the desire that is burning in our heart is not spiritual desire, it is material desire. Spiritual desire may be just one tiny spark that is there somewhere in one corner of the heart. And that also gets kindled when we get some strong devotee association, some spiritual inspiration. But otherwise, it just remains as a tiny spark which gets lost in the background, while in the foreground, the blazing conflagration, the gigantic fire of lust is burning. So, if Krishna's lotus feet comes in our heart, then that fire of lust will get extinguished. In fact, that's what will be said at the end of the Gopi Gita section, at the end of the Ras Pancha Adhyaya, the last verse of the 33rd chapter. It says that if we hear the Gopi Gita attentively, then by that hearing, attraction to Krishna will arise in the heart. Bhaktim param bhagvati patilabhya kamam hridrogam ashva pahinotya chirena dhiraha. So that pure devotion, parabhakti, will arise in the heart, and when that happens, then hridroga, the heart disease of lust, will be quickly apahinoti, will be quickly destroyed. So that's what happens when we hear Krishna's pastimes and become attracted to him. So in one sense, hearing the sound vibration of Krishna and letting that enter into our heart is not different from Krishna putting his lotus feet on our heart. Either way, it is Krishna who is manifesting his all pure, all potent presence, and that does magic in the heart. So for the gopis, the desire that is burning their heart is not material, it is spiritual. They want freedom from the agony, the fire of separation from Krishna by union with Krishna. For us, we don't have that fire of separation from Krishna burning, we have the fire of lust, the fire of greed. But whichever be the fire that is burning, Krishna's presence, when it is invoked, that can burn, that can end that fire. And that is what we aspire for over here. So, krunakuche shuna krindiruchayam. So, when we allow Krishna to come in our heart, and we chant the holy names, at that time, the fire of desire, fire of lust, fire of greed, that will get extinguished. So, actually, if we want satisfaction in our life, satisfaction will not come by indulging in our desires. Indulging in our desires will only make our craving more and more. If we want freedom from the agitation of the mind, we need to turn our heart towards Krishna. And then the heart's desires, heart's agitation will go away. Then the gopis pray, Krishna, please revive us with the nectar of your lips. Madhuraya gira valgu vakyaya budhamanogyaya pushkarekshana vidhikaririma veeramuniyati adharasituna pyayayasvana. So they are praying, Madhuraya gira, that your voice is so sweet, And with that sweet voice, what do? Valgu Vakyaya. The word that you speak are so charming. Sometimes people may have a sweet voice, but with the sweet voice they speak extremely harshly. But Krishna is saying, Gopis are saying, your voice is so sweet and your speech is also so charming. And so charming that it attracts even the Buddha. Now, so there are sometimes some slick talkers. Some people may have a sweet voice and a charming speech, and the slick talkers can deceive others. But you are not like that. Actually, what you speak has substance. And that's why even the wise people get attracted. So those are slick talkers, the wise people, they can see through their slick talking. But like there are salespersons, you know, they're trained how to talk in such a way that you can influence others to do what you want them to do. But the Gopis are saying, Krishna, when you talk, actually, even the wisest people get attracted because your talk has profound depth and substance. And again, the metaphor of the lotus comes again and again. So, Pushkar Ekshana, your eyes are like lotus. And so they are saying, after describing how wonderful is the nectar coming from your lips, they are saying, Vidhikari Rima. Vidhikari. Vidhi is order. Kari is those who do the order. Those who implement. That means they are referring to maid servants. Vidhikari Rima. These. So here the gopis are referring to themselves. This gopi is saying, all of us. So actually, these is used here, ima, and na is also used the same way. So all of us, na means us, and these means all of us. So they are saying, all of us, your maid servants. So, O hero, so the gopis are again and again referring to Krishna by these very endearing and appealing terms of address. So, O hero, Veera Yoshita, Veera Chita Bhayam. So the gopis are appealing to Krishna's sense of chivalry. Krishna, you are chivalrous, you are a hero. And a hero is meant to protect the heroine. The hero is not meant to afflict the heroine. So why are you afflicting us? The gopis are using every possible means to try to get Krishna to come back. And Mohiyati. So we have also become, just as Buddha Manogya, just the wise people become attracted, captivated by your speech. Similarly, we have also become captivated. So Adharasi Dhuna. So with the nectar from your lips, Pyaya Yaswana. Please restore life to us. Please revive us. So the nectar from the lips can refer to the speech. So the gopis are saying that, Krishna, please come and speak to us. Let us hear your sweet speech. And that will revive us. Otherwise, we are on the verge of death. We will die. At a more intimate conjugal level, it can also refer to the kisses. I say, please revive us with the nectar of your kisses. That is the nectar in your lips. So, in the spiritual realm, actually, affection is expressed in ways that are appropriate. So, Nanda Maharishadavai may kiss Krishna. Nanda Mahar normally smells the hair of Krishna. That's what the parents do. Yashodhamai may kiss Krishna on the lips. Krishna may sometimes kiss Yashodhamai on the cheeks, not on the lips. So, generally speaking, there are different ways in which affection is expressed. So, there is no sense of selfishness, there is no carnality, like what is present in the material world. There is transcendental reciprocation of love that is happening over here. And the gopis, when they are saying you revive us with your lips, what they are saying is, actually we know this is what will please you. Actually, if you study Chaitanya Charitamrita talks about the difference between lust and love. And there, it's quite a provocative definition. What Krishna is going to say is, Atmendriya Priti Vichya. Once Tare Bole Prem, Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Premana. Sorry, Atmendriya Priti Icha Tare Bole Kaam. So the desire to satisfy one's own senses is lust, and the desire, the longing to satisfy Krishna's senses is prema. So what this means is that Krishna has senses and we are meant to satisfy the senses of Krishna. So Yashodamai, Krishna has a tongue, and Yashodamai cooks delicious foods for food items for Krishna, and she satisfies Krishna that way. So similarly, different devotees satisfy Krishna in different ways. So the gopis, we shouldn't see them just as females and Krishna as male. No, Krishna is God and gopis are his devotees. But the topmost devotees are given the form that is best suited for service to Krishna. And so, the female form is best suited for service. So, Krishna's topmost devotees have the female form. It is not that they are given in the sense that at one particular time they did not have and then they got. No, that's the eternal form. But that arrangement is made. The transcendental realm is filled with form and variety. So, there are different devotees who have different forms with which they serve Krishna. So, the gopis, they have their own way in which they serve Krishna. So, they satisfy Krishna in the appropriate way. So, here what is being prayed is, please revive us with the nectar of your lips. So, actually speaking, for us also, we can take out the nectar of the lips in a different sense as the wisdom that is there in his message. So, Krishna's, we are also lost in this world. We are deluded. But our delusion is not spiritual, our delusion is material. We are deluded by the false hopes for pleasure in this world. And if we pray to Krishna, please deliver me, please illumine me, please revive me. We are all spiritually dead. Spiritually dead means the soul never dies, but we are as good as dead or as bad as dead to our real life at the spiritual level. The dead person, just as a dead person is unconscious of everything. So similarly, a person who is we are unconscious of practically everything spiritual. And in Kapila Dev's teaching, it is said, Jeevan api mrito api saha. A person who is not engaged in devotional service, that person may be alive, but that person is as if dead. So we are all spiritually dead for all practical purposes. So the way we become revived spiritually is by the glorious pastimes of, by the message of Krishna. So when we hear the Krishna's word that's spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, the words about Krishna spoken in the Bhagavatam, then these will revive us spiritually. And as we hear these words more and more and try to apply them in our lives, then we become more and more conscious of our real life at the spiritual level. It is like waking up from our stupor. Stupor is not just a sleep. Stupor is a completely blinded state of unconsciousness. So one is not even aware of anything. One slowly comes out of the stupor and one understands, oh, okay, I'm here, what am I doing? So like that, we start, who am I? I'm not the body, I'm the soul. What am I meant to do? I am meant to love and serve Krishna. Therein is my real happiness. So, Krishna, he has spoken the nectar of the Bhagavad Gita to all of us. And we can avail of it whenever we want. That is Krishna's mercy. That we can turn towards the wisdom of the Bhagavad Gita, meditate on it, and feel ourselves becoming spiritually enlivened again and again, whenever it is required. So, from the world, what we get is poison. A sense objects and sensual desires that become injected into our consciousness through the contemplation of sense objects, they kill us spiritually. They deaden us to spiritual emotions. Now, even when you go to a temple, if we are in sensory consciousness, then we don't feel any emotion when we look in front of the deities. But we start feeling emotions when we look at members of the opposite sex. So that is unfortunate. No, we are not going to the temple to become influenced by material emotions. We are getting material emotions everywhere in the world. We are going to this temple to get spiritual emotions. So for that, we need to regularly expose ourselves to the nectar of Krishna coming from Krishna's words, from Krishna's lips, that is his words. And we minimize the exposure to the poison from this world. And then by that, Tyayasvana, we will all, by hearing Krishna's words, we are not just hearing some theory. We can contemplate that these words are going to revive me. They are going to restore me to my spiritual life. With this prayerful mood when we hear, then the hearing will do magic in our heart and we'll start and we'll find ourselves awakening back to our real spiritual life. Thank you. Hare Krishna.